Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Congratulations, your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. How you living, threes?
Living the dream, brother. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Boy, Bill. Bill's doing work out there. Bill the Beaver's doing work
Bill,
out there.
I'm on my last two loads, last two Kubota Sidekick loads of tree number one. You know, every day this week I've been loading up the limbs and stuff, you know, so you got to cut it down in a smart way, right? You got to cut off all the limbs and then you got to throw them all in. And they can be wider than your fire pit, you know, because my theory is, you know, once you start the fire in the middle, they literally will burn in half and then you just fold everything back in, right?
Fold it in.
So veteran cut off all the limbs and then there's a couple of the trunk I got to split, but I have about one more RTV load to go down there.
He's not taking the limbs
the same thing.
With him?
What'd you say?
He's not taking the limbs with him?
I guess not.
He's felling the tree and then...
The tree fell. It was down for about 10 days before I started doing any work on it. Some of the limbs were off, you know, the lower ones close to the base where he knocked the whole thing down.
Yeah.
But... Maybe I spooked him away. I didn't spook him totally away because he's still working on tree two.
Boy, he's an elusive beaver.
He is.
Bill is. I mean, this ain't his first tree.
I have no idea where the dam is. I went down there. So the trees are right next to a culvert that goes under the road.
Okay.
I don't know if he's taking them and dragging them to my neighbor across the street's side of the stream.
Right.
As it continues, but I haven't seen the dam up in my way, so
I wonder if he views that culvert as a perfect home.
It might be.
Maybe he's going in there.
I'm not hating on him. All I'm doing is I'm cutting it.
Him live.
No, I cut the tree down to the point where I got to be able to cut the grass, sir. I'm not letting your home ruin my aesthetics with the lawn.
You and Bill can get along together. You don't have to. You know, you're not enemies. You guys can be buddies. It's fine. You guys can share nature.
Bill's an entrepreneur. He's taking the wood and giving it to other beavers across
secondhand wood.
The whole county.
Well, that's good. Because if you're going to take my wood, I'm going to sell it to the other beavers.
Did we just do a children's book here on the program? Bill Beaver at Three's Ranch? I mean, did we just do a children's book?
Bill Beaver.
Can we get somebody to print it?
Ranch.
I mean, let's go. How hard is that? Can we print that? I think we just did the story. Chops, did you just do the story?
Yeah, and it teaches kids about supply and demand. Logistics.
Yeah, and it looks absolutely right. It teaches the kids about, you know, how to share nature.
Yeah,
sharing nature.
Humans and beavers working together to clean you know, creation. It's amazing. I think we got something here.
Feels like we just did a children's book. I don't know. Yeah. Can we print that? Can we get somebody to write that thing? Hash it out a little bit?
Yeah.
Boy, what a crud game tonight.
You'll still watch.
Watch it to the Giants. I'll watch a little bit because our guys are involved, but this is not. So I know you're the same way, early riser as I am, and Chop's obviously an early riser now too. And you say to yourself, all right, there are certain things that I will just deal with it and just be tired and accept the fact that I'm going to be tired.
Yeah.
Giants and Redskins ain't one of them.
Yeah.
That ain't it.
Yep. Yep. Totally agree.
Yeah. Not much. I mean, Heineken playing.
Look, I'll watch
Dane
kick.
Jones.
Ugh. I'll watch kick. I'll have my in-laws in tonight.
Oh, nice.
Because they, look, anytime you have sauce in, it's a win. Initially, I was going to leave tonight, right? I was going to drive up to
Ann Arbor, right?
And then because I was going to prepare to do at least, you know, an hour and a half of the show.
Sure.
And then you start to talk to people and you're like, I mean, doing an hour and a half doesn't really make sense. Just kind of call in kind of thing. Because the meetings were going to be in person with Michigan, and then the Big Ten Network has decided to go back to Zoom meetings with all coaches just as a precaution, which, I mean, it makes our lives easier, to be honest. You get the same amount of information Zoom calling. I'll put it this way. Zoom has made it even better because when you go on the when you talk to the road coaches, usually what you get is you get you usually do a conference call. So when they can't even see you, I mean, how focused do you think they are? You know, these guys are probably watching tape and tell me about so and so. Yeah, no, old line's doing great. I asked about the old line. I asked about the running backs. You know, like I need your focus, kind of thing. So, but the home coaches, you know, they still like the you know a lot of the producers I think still want to meet in person and do all that. But you don't get anything more in person than you do over a Zoom. It's the same people there.
Same.
So anyway, what is that has done then? I still was going to drive up early tomorrow morning. I was just going to get up and roll to Ann Arbor and kind of get there about 10, head over to the football facility, all that. Chicago canceled our hit. You know, sometimes you do a hit from the stadium. Hey, this is Brandon and James. Northern Illinois comes into the big house, blah, blah, blah. You know, 1 minute and a half, blah. You know, can they continue running for 350 on the ground per game? You know, first in the Big Ten, fourth in the nation. Back to you, you know, kind of thing.
Sure.
Chicago said, we don't need it. BTN tailgate is there Saturday, so you know I'll jump on tailgate for 10 minutes. So anyway, so I'm like, even better. So what time's our production meeting Friday night, Bart? And he's like 6 p.m. Great, because you know what that means? That means James gets to get swole tomorrow morning at the gym. He gets to.
Do they let you? Can you go into the Michigan facilities? Get a little sweat on?
No, not now. I mean, they may have back in the day.
Back in the old day, like you could make the call to Jake Long and be like, hey, man.
Jake will be there, by the way. He's bringing his girls to the game. So I'm going to see Jake tomorrow night. Yeah, I'm going to see Jake tomorrow night.
Great.
Give him a nice big hug. Feels good to be back in Ann Arbor, undefeated here. Just, love it here.
All I do is
beautiful.
Win. I
gorgeous.
Love this place. It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
It is a great place for a football
interesting
game.
Matchup, man. Rocky Lombardi, you know, the old Michigan State quarterback, beat Michigan last year at Sparty, comes in with Northern Illinois, you know.
I love watching a game there. I think it's great. I love the setup.
It's my first time being there without playing.
Really? Oh, that's amazing. You haven't called a game there.
No.
This is, what, your third or fourth year doing Big
Ten?
Amazing.
I was always B crew, you know, so finally A crew.
Oh, so now you get the...
Michigan always gets the A crew, you know.
Michigan gets the A crew. Oh, that's fun. Going to be fun. Hey, you saw this from The Athletic. Top five programs per The Athletic. What I love about this, I'm sure Ari was behind this at the Athletic. They polled more than 100 people working in college football, athletic directors, head coaches, assistant coaches, recruiting coordinators, analysts, and staffers to get their take on this question. And it's pretty simple. What are the top five programs in college football per The Athletic? This was done, I think, because Joel Klatt, earlier in the week on social, put out his top five programs in college football and like where the USC job is. And that's where this came from, is how good of a job is USC. I remember when I first got to Columbus talking to John Cooper about this, and he thought USC was the best job in college football.
Mm.
He was pretty emphatic about it.
Yeah.
And I understood it. I think at that time there was a pretty strong argument for it. You have Southern California. You have California to yourself. You should. And you say to yourself, man, that's a very winnable league. That's a glamour program. They've got a lot of money. They've got a lot of, you know, all the things that they have that are obvious. I don't think that they are anymore. I don't think it is the best job in college football anymore. And some of that is you start to look at the ebbs and flows of a program, right?
Yep.
They've had some incredible downturns. And if you are the best, you know, should you have had downturns like that? So that's kind of a tricky one on USC. So they came up with Bama number one, Ohio State number two, Georgia number three, Texas four, LSU five, USC was actually six, and Michigan was 11 on that list. If you're curious, you can ask Harbaugh if he thinks it's 11th best job in college football when you see him on Friday.
Yeah.
Do you have any problem with that five?
I just don't know. I think Alabama is recency bias, obviously. Because they've had decades of dips, you know. But it's still a great, I mean, proximity to talent. There's still great history, tradition. It's stronger now. Like, I don't foresee as deep of a dip. Now, it's all about the who's the next hire, right?
And that, Saban's
not there.
They used to say, who's going to fire follow Bear at Bama? It's going to be the same with Saban. Who's going to fire? Who's going to follow Saban?
Yep. And if they, look, if Clemson is still winning, like, what's the challenge for Dabo if he keeps winning the ACC, but it's just kind of blah to him?
Well,
you know what I mean? Grant,
the only pushback,
assuming Clemson doesn't get poached to the SEC.
Right. The only thing I say is, like, if you're Dabo, would you rather be Bobby Bowden at Clemson or the guy that follows Saban at Bama. Because no one's going to do better than Saban.
Yeah.
Nobody. You're not. This will never be done again, the run he's had. It's impossible. It's never going to be done again. And I think that's the tricky thing with the Bama job is the Bama job is a good job. But the Bama job is a tough job.
Yeah.
It's a relentless job because of there are vultures everywhere, scavengers everywhere around you, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing that's really hard is it's an awesome, awesome job, and they've won there. They've got more national championships from anybody. The tradition's incredible. They will stop at nothing to win. They'll give you everything you want. But, boy, in your own state, you've got a program that's won a national championship this decade.
Yeah.
Let alone your neighbors.
Yep. No, it's tough. Yeah, I think that's a grind. That's why I think, look at Georgia. The proximity to talent for Georgia and all that is the same. I like that they're number three. Texas is tough because you're battling everybody. You're battling A&M. You're battling the whole SEC. You're battling Ohio State for guys coming in and poaching players. So that's tough. LSU, proximity to talent as well. They have an unbelievable atmosphere, all of that. You would think U.S. The more you think about it, like if you're a kid and you're like, I want to stay out west. I want to play in the Pac-12, right? Maybe my dad and grandpa have memories of the glory years.
Sure.
I want to stay out here. Like, do you really want to go up to Oregon? Like, is Oregon really... They have weather things as well, that set you back. And I'm not sure, look, everyone has Nike now. This isn't where, or they have special cleats anymore. Everyone has the customized stuff. So, where do you want to go to USC? Where you have, dudes upon dudes in that history, for decades. And now I understand it takes the right coach, and they've missed, this is what we talked about yesterday with I forgot who it was, but we were talking about, we're not immune to it.
No.
You've seen all these other programs. If you miss on the coach and you hire the wrong guy, it can dip. That includes it here.
Yeah.
It includes here. It's just, I think if they get the right guy, now who's the right guy? I don't know. I'm not an AD. I'm not the guy in charge of hire. Obviously, Urban would be incredible. He already had to answer it. We'll get to it later, but... It's easy to have one answer now versus what answer,
Saban had the same press conference.
In 17
a very
weeks.
Similar press conference.
Yes, I remember it.
Very similar. Yeah. Pretty emphatic about it. In fact, actually had to say some of the effect of, I am not going to Alabama. Had to say that.
We got to find that sound. Chops, you got to find that. Because I want to play that. We should play them back to back, both sounds, and say how similar.
Yeah.
There's no pay attention to the scores. And I believe we'll get to it.
Yeah,
the Urban stuff on SC, but I think there are certain coaches that could come in there and change it. I don't think Bob Stoops is one.
No,
I don't think Bob Stoops wants to. I don't think it'd be a fit. I think that's it's just an easy name to throw out there. So I think there's other. Cristobal is interesting, but why would you leave a program that seems like you've already built up to a certain point to win the Pac-12 and get to the playoff to go down and do it again? I don't know. It just takes the right person. Who is that? They've tried to go the coordinator route. They've tried to go the connection route, right? They tried to go they've hopped all around with guys and styles. They just got to find
Don't you think you need one of two things? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
Go ahead. Finish. You need someone who what?
No, I said you're fine. Go.
No, I was just going to say.
Sure, show.
I
just pop in from time to time.
That's not true. It's my bad. It's got to be one of two things, right? It's either got to be force of personality, charisma, dripping charisma. Watch me win recruiting battles.
Swag,
or,
man. That's what
I think the enemy could do that.
Yes.
I think he would have that down in Southern California. I think he would be because it's in college football, man. If Urban's learned anything, we've learned anything, and it's not like this is reinventing the wheel. It's Jimmy's and Joe's, man. It ain't X's and O's. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. Do you have the best players? Do you recruit them? Do you develop them? Do you keep them on campus?
Yep.
Can you sell the program? That's it. The rest of it, schematically, sure, here and there. everybody, you know, Lincoln Riley, greatest schematic offensive coach in college football, could be the coach of the Cowboys if he wanted it. Well, they haven't won a national title. Why? Because he doesn't have as good of players on defense as everybody else.
Yeah.
He's not as good in the trenches as everybody else, the teams that are really winning it. So you either have somebody with complete charisma, or the other way to do it is a guy who is relentless.
Yeah.
Who crosses every T and dots every I. So that's Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
That's that type of coach. A guy who is trustworthy, who would have the trust of the coaches in that area. That's the other type of guy. Is Halfley that type of guy? Would he have somebody who would have an interest in the USC job?
James Franklin's that kind of guy.
James Franklin has
the charisma.
He might have both. A little bit of both.
Charisma. He would need to have really good coordinators. Because when he's had good coordinators, they were good. Like Joe Moorhead they were rolling. So it's, can he get the right guys? You're absolutely right when it comes to the charisma, the swag. Can I get a guy in here that, because Pete Carroll had that. Like Pete Carroll had this swag of like, they were going to compete, but we were going to have dudes in here, and we were going to have fun, and we're going to have Will Ferrell come out to practice, and we're going to have, you know, like it was all encompassing. It was the cool, like you were the it thing in L.A.
Yeah.
And I think they can be the it thing in L.A., even with the Rams there, if they're winning. But they got to win. And no one in L.A. believed that Clay Helton was going to be a consistent winner.
No charisma.
And so there's no charisma.
Nice guy.
There's no – it was kind of no man's land.
Yeah.
But
they
have everything there set up. You know, I've always had a fascinating thought. Like, when I call these games like this weekend, or like a few years ago I called a game with Buffalo in it and Lance Leopold was their head coach – you always see where the great coaches are when they come up through the MAC, you know, or the small schools. Because they are, for instance, Sean Gleason, offensive coordinator at Rutgers, will be a head coach very soon. And you say, why? They've improved by like 14 to 20 like points per, I think it was like 17 points per game in 1 year they improved. They improved on like 80 rushing yards per game, like 112 passing yards per game. Every offensive stat with the same players.
Yeah.
And so you say inferior talent going through a year, and they've improved because they're being coached up, and he's calling things with massive limitations. Noah Vedral isn't going out there and lighting it up. He can't drop back and go five wide, right? There's a certain way they have to call a game. And I've always wondered, like, if you put Ed Orgeron, or, and I'm just using him as an example, not to pick on him, but if you put him at a program where they don't have superior talent, he's not winning with superior talent. So if you put him at a program where they have less talent, then what's he really look like as a coach? Most smart coaches say all the time, when you have veterans and you have dudes, coaching's easy. You just call it and let the guys go play. And so you've seen that with Urban here. We've had it more often than not. That's why we get pissed when we lose. When you're a 14-point favorite, when you have better talent than Oregon, you get mad, and you have a right to be mad because you're saying, we should win. So I've always wondered in the coaching profession, like for Nick Saban, not that he's not a good coach. I'm just saying he always had the superior talent, and when you mentioned Jimmy's and Joe's, when it does meet X's and O's, when you have a Steve Sarkisian as an O coordinator, then you're elite. Then you're untouchable, like they were last year. So,
and
that's what Saban brings
both
to them defensively and culture-wise and all that.
Right. He does both. He says, you're going to do what we do.
Yes.
You're going to do the Bama way. So he's got both, and that's the way that it works. It's a fascinating conversation, and that's a very, very, very big job that is going to be filled.
We'll be talking about it for another 20 weeks. I don't think
I think
honestly, if you're the AD of USC, I think you have to wait to see how the Jaguar season goes. If he's even on your list, right?
No,
you try to get James, you try to get them all in for interviews.
If he's 2-10,
ask him again.
Ask again. Ask again.
Urban, no, not talking to you. 2-10. Hey, who's Herbs? Good to talk.
Right.
How are you doing?
Who's his agent? The former, the former Gator player? Played for the Bears. Isn't that his agent?
I don't know.
Get him on the phone. Couple of things from social. Christopher says, speaking of the Threes Ranch, can we get the Longhorns push back? I'm working on that, Chris. I'm working on that. We're working on Longhorns.
You don't got to sell me on the Longhorns. You got to sell Cersei.
Gosh, she's going to love them. They're just amazing animals.
I don't know. I don't know. Her whole thing will be like, Who's gonna clean up the turds? Who's gonna do?
No,
all
you
that,
don't clean you know? Up the turds. They
That's
just stay.
That's what I told her.
They fertilize. They're just eating grass. It's just grass. Just fertilize. Also, this from Snagglepuss. He says, "How is Michigan not the best job? You can lose four games a year and not get fired. Sign me up." That's a good job out of him. You'll hear Urban, and you'll judge for yourself on that. A very interesting press conference in Berea yesterday from Kevin Stefanski. Mm. We'll have that for you coming up. Dan Lobby going to join us at 9:48 on the Browns front, off and running on a Thursday. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here in the Fan.
You love sports? We love sports. You love the Buckeyes? We love the Buckeyes. You love your mom? We love your mom. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. First Fridays are a thing. Drinking bad bourbon is not a thing. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. I've been telling you for a while about the amazing deals over at Germain Toyota. They must be ridiculous. I'm not lying to you because they're coming to take the Tundra from me this morning and drop off a new one because why? They sold it because the deals are that good. So you got to get out there. Where are they? They're east of downtown. You should know that by now. They're at 5711 Scarborough Boulevard, or you can see them online, germaintoyota.net. But hey, if you don't want a new car and you just want to sell yours, they are going to give you a hassle-free, no-strings-attached offer, and they're going to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you don't even have to buy one of theirs. So go say hi to Buddy over there, east again of downtown, 5711 Scarborough Boulevard, online, germaintoyota.net.
Urban Meyer asked, by the way, in a fantastic quarter zip. That's a beautiful. He looked like, it looks like a, that, did you see that Jaguar quarter zip he's in?
Of course.
Boy, that's handsome. I like that.
They got a nice job. They got a nice color scheme. They got, I mean, you could do a whole lot, by the way, with that color scheme that they got down there.
Yeah, they don't.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And I actually, I mean, the Jags, man. Last time I played the Jags, I think I had a pick on Blaine Gabbert.
There you go.
Not that I should be parading that around, but
yeah.
The funniest thing is that you know, you got to be able to laugh at yourself, Bo.
Your interceptions of Peyton Manning and Brett Favre certainly carry more weight.
They do, and Rodgers. And
Rodgers.
Even though it was tipped, I did catch it. And
yeah, I think I have a pick on Blaine Gabbert.
The funny thing is that after we come back on the field after a TV timeout, and Aaron and I are not friends, but obviously we have a mutual friend in AJ, and so. We come out, and it's a TV timeout, and I'm just going to give him a little smile. And after I got the interception, he goes, of all people in the league, that thing falls into your hands to break the streak.
Oh, you were the streak breaker. That's right.
I said, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yep.
This is what I got up, and I just rammed it is what I did, too.
I do remember that.
Rammed it hard. I pulled my hip flexor.
Urban yesterday in a fantastic quarter zip was asked about the USC job. Here's his response.
Yeah, there's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
So here was a lot of eye contact on that. What do you want him to do? I don't blame him. So this was, for comparison's sake, here is Nick Saban when he was a coach of the Dolphins being asked about Alabama.
I don't know how else I can say it, guys. I've said it three different occasions. Well, then I guess I have to say it. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. I think I've said this over and over and over.
Almost sounds like that Joey Molinari guy from now Barstool. Like he could have. It almost seems like there's no way Saban actually said that. Oh yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it was a big deal that he said it. Look.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that Urban Meyer is going to be the coach at USC, but I don't know that. But I don't necessarily think that's because he wants to or is going to be a long term building of an organization in Jacksonville. I just don't think USC is a fit for what he wants to do culturally.
Right. Yep. It'd be, I struggle with it because I understand how much legacy means to him.
Sure.
Like, he is totally aware of what people say about him.
Yes.
You can see that from his social media presence, which he runs himself, right? The things he chooses to respond to. Like, he's aware of what's being said.
Yeah.
He's also used to being extremely successful. I think... arguably the second best college football coach of all time. We've talked about this, the best quick program builder. You saw BG, Utah, Florida, everywhere. Ohio State. So if you can't have, just because of naturally, you haven't stayed at one spot for and had the same success as Nick Saban in that respect, how do you differentiate yourself when you're talking about the greatest to do it? You know, decades down the road when we're thinking back and you're like, man, Saban was so good at Alabama. You could say to yourself, but do you remember when Herbs won natties at Florida, Ohio State, and at USC? Like, he did it from three different parts of the country. He did it in the South. He did it in the Midwest. He did it out West. Like, man, that's tough. That's tough to build and do it in different leagues. And It's just, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. It wouldn't shock me, but, you know, what do I know?
I just don't know. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a fit either.
Culturally, I just don't know that it's.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
So my gut says if things don't go well, if things don't go well, when you look forward, okay, to, you know, the end of his whatever things end in Jacksonville, right? Whether it's this year, whether it's a couple of years from now, and if it's look, if it's this year, he chooses USC, right? Let's just be honest. Like he's there for a couple of years if he as long as he wants to be. Like they've invested in him. So I'm just wondering if it's not USC and things don't work out. I don't think this is the end of the road. People say all the time, like, do you know the millions of dollars he's getting from Jacksonville? Yes, I'm aware.
He doesn't care. That's not his why.
That's not his motivating factor.
No.
Look at the guy's feet anytime he goes anywhere. He's rocking the Nike Pegasus brand shoe. You're like, what the hell is a Nike Pegasus? It's
they
basically what all the coaches wear. That's what he's rocking with khakis anywhere.
Everywhere.
Why? They are free.
Right.
Like, the guy doesn't operate that way. So, when you think about it, man, he's got a... He's got to be the guy to – he is so just obsessed with winning and the perception that what is the college program that he would go back to if things fail? If things do fail in Jacksonville.
Let me just give you this.
He will go back to college.
Something to ponder. Instead of thinking what is the college job that he would take if it comes back to that, and I'm with you. If he doesn't succeed in the NFL, he will coach again in college somewhere. He will. Just remember this. There wasn't anybody – who said when Steve Spurrier left Florida that he would coach at South Carolina.
Right.
That is not an A+. That best jobs, yeah. South Carolina yeah. is not it. That ain't it.
Yeah.
But he wanted to coach.
Yep.
He wanted to coach. He wanted to coach somewhere.
Yep.
And that's the one he took. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the bluest of blue bloods. He could wait until Saban's done at Alabama, jump right back into the SEC. He could return to Florida.
Yep.
Coach the Gators. Try to make that right. You talked about his legacy. It bothers him big time that he's not liked at Florida. He could go right back there, and he could do it there. So, yeah. Look, I don't think it's USC. I think he's all in on Jacksonville. I would also say that this is going to be really, really hard. This year is going to be hard.
No, I totally believe that he is all in.
Yeah.
He's not a quitter as far as in the respect. He just started this thing. Like, for him, he's like, I haven't even totally entrenched in this thing yet.
Yeah.
You know? If this was year two and year one was 2-15 – and they just lost week one again, and it was bad, and USC came over, and it's year two, and he can't see any growth, then I think it's more realistic.
Yeah.
But year one, he hasn't even gone through a full 17 games to be able to sit back in an offseason, take a deep breath, and go, okay, I do this different this next year. I'll make this change. I'll do that. You know? Like, yeah. I think it's just bad timing.
I agree. The last thing on this. He's successful at everything. He's good at TV. He's good at coaching. He'll learn. I would also say that he went into this a little naive. And he's learning that now. He's learning the realities of the NFL. And that maybe he didn't know everything that the NFL is all about. He had that thing on Hard Knocks where he's talking with McCarthy. He goes, all this is football. Well, yeah. That's what it is. Yep. That's the NFL.
Yep.
That's it. You're not spending time on leadership councils, building culture. I mean, there isn't time for that. You build culture by winning and by being really smart.
Yep.
So that's kind of the way that goes. Speaking of really smart, Kevin Stefanski's really smart, and I think what he did yesterday was extra smart. We get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis is What's Up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Honda dealers.
All right, press conference yesterday in Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski saying Odell Beckham Jr. will not play this week. Here's Coach on that.
Yeah, and that happens in the NFL. I mean, you practice guys. You have guys in different spots. And sometimes you make a decision close to game time, and that's just, it's the classic, it is what it is. It's, you know, he was pushing to get there, just didn't feel like he could play this significant number of snaps. So I just felt like for this week, the prudent thing to do was let's let these other guys get all those reps, although they got a bunch last week. Let's game plan accordingly, and then we'll update you guys as we get into next week.
You played in the league a long time. How do you read that?
So there's a lot of smoke about him being – look, what's confusing to me is at the end of the training camp, you started to hear Odell's good, right? Like he'll be good for week one. He's been medically clear for week one. My assumption and things that I've heard is that he was a part of the game plan, and it was a surprise. It said on the telecast, it was a surprise that he was inactive, which leads to me to think that that was a him decision. And so Stefanski made a point like, well, if that's the case, I'm not going to game plan all week, no matter who we're playing. There's been a lot of narrative about, oh, it's the Texans. He doesn't need to play. No, I think this is, I'm not waiting for you to figure out when you want to play or not. I'm preparing this team to win. And so I expected you to play last week because you practiced during the week and we didn't play. And so I shuffled some things around. I don't want to be, I'm not going to be prepared like that anymore. I'm going to be fully prepared. And I think it sends an amazing message. Now, I could be off on that. I could be wrong. But I think it sends an amazing message to the group of just saying, look, like we're going to roll with who we got. And I don't think it needs to be made a huge deal of or whatever, but I just think, I think it's more than just big narrative I keep hearing is, oh, it's the Texans, and let's make sure he's really, really, really ready. If he's been medically cleared by the doctors, he's really, really, really ready, just like Joe Burrow is really, really, really ready.
Yeah.
So there's only so – look, I think there's more to it than just, ah, it doesn't feel good. And I don't know what that is. I think there's a little bit of a disappointment from the head coach that he wasn't out there instead of making a huge deal about it. You know what? We're just gonna put him down right now to not keep answering these questions as the week goes on, right? Let's address it. Odell's not going to play this weekend. We're going to continue to wait and be patient. It squashes it before it even gets later in the week, and you have to worry about where's the 90-minute inactive list, you know? And it gives reps to the other guys that you know for sure are going to be available.
You said a word in there, prepared,
yep.
Right? One thing that this regime is up there always is prepared.
Yep.
They prepare for everything. I don't imagine that they were abundantly thrilled about the notion of having to 90 minutes before game time make a decision on if they were going to have somebody in the game plan or not.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So, okay, you couldn't play, didn't feel whatever it would have been. Who knows why? That's between Odell and Stefanski. And Stefanski is never going to play this out in the media.
No.
He is never going to get into that. Odell hasn't talked for a long time, so it's hard to say where his head is on that. But
Stefanski, which I will say is odd, but
sure. Stefanski's not going to play it out in the media. So you also hit on something else that's very dialed in. Well, now he doesn't have to answer questions about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Now he doesn't have to lie in the production meetings with the CBS crew on whenever that is, Saturdays, Friday, whenever that is. So now he doesn't have to do that because he's not playing. That's it.
Yep.
So my guess is the way this went is Stefanski and Odell talked. Stefanski said, can you play today? Can you commit to playing today? Odell said, I can't. Stefanski said, then you're down.
Yep.
And we'll see you next week. We'll revisit it next week.
Because here's the truth.
When you can tell me on a Wednesday that you're ready to play Sunday, we'll move forward. But until that point, we're not. It's not a big deal. It's not controversy. It's just a matter of this is the way we're going to handle this. Because he's a matter-of-fact dude, Stefanski. Yeah. He's not interested in that.
Yeah.
He's not interested in the distraction of it. He's not interested in are we, aren't we. He wants to prepare for what he has, and so he knows what he has.
Yep.
I don't think that they thought Anthony Schwartz was going to play 31 snaps.
No.
They're happy with what he gave them, but that's how many snaps he played. So
I also think
now they can prepare.
I just think it's an ability of him to say, this is where we're at. I go forward. I'm putting the ball in my court. Like, you know, like I think just waiting and seeing. And guess what? It's a tip of the cap to your roster.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, like he knows my guys will be prepared even more so to go beat Houston, who we are better than.
Yeah.
And we don't need, like, we have tape of last year winning against better teams without Odell. So let's not make this bigger than it is. Can you practice today? Can you go today? Like you said, no. Okay, you're down. We're going to get the other guys more reps. We'll even be more prepared for Houston. And we'll be able to win without you. I'm not concerned. There's no pressure due to talent on the outside. Of course you want him out there.
Of course.
But we've talked over and over and over. I mean, you want him out here because you want to hopefully see in a game this chemistry between Odell and Baker form. Because right. you know if it does, it's just going to make the offense even more efficient, and it already is.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it will happen, but that's what we're all hopeful for.
Yeah.
We've been hopeful for that since they traded for him.
Sure.
So it is, but you should have great confidence in your team to say, you know what, I mean, is it really going to make the difference of winning and losing on Sunday? It sure as hell shouldn't.
Shouldn't. Really didn't last week in Kansas City. So certainly shouldn't this week. Dan Lobby covers the Browns, Cleveland.com. He joins us next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here with the Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart. I'm drunk right now. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's head out on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline for a visit with our good buddy Dan Lobby. Covers the Browns from Cleveland.com. Dan, what'd you make of Coach Stefanski's presser yesterday in regard to Odell Beckham Jr.?
I thought he just wanted to make it very clear from the start that the decision was they didn't want to have to go through Sunday, working out Odell, kind of going through what they had to last Sunday, not knowing if he was going to play. I just think he wants to have a little bit of that stability and let guys get the work they need to get in practice. And I just think he wanted to tell everyone, look, this is how we're going to do it, and Odell's not going to play this week, and we aren't going to do some of the same dance that we did last week leading into that Kansas City game.
Dan, I mean, to me, this signals just how in control Stefanski is of that locker room. Like, he is so – like, we know this from a year ago. He is so smart when it comes to just preparation. He doesn't get too high. He never gets too low. But he's so calculated, even in this situation of, I'm not going to wait all week. I'm not going to be unprepared. Like, when I think of him, I just think he's always prepared to the best of his ability. I'm not going to wait through this waiting game. I'm not going to wait and have this suspense and answer questions all week. I'm going to be the one, because I'm the head coach, to squash it. And Bo brought up a good point. We don't know for sure, but it seems like there was probably a conversation saying, hey, Odell, can you go today, right now? Would you be comfortable saying yes? And him saying, I don't know. And he said, okay, well, you're down. All right, you're just going to be down. And I think that just shows to me not only confidence, but just this command of the organization, to be honest, that I admire, because I'm not sure I've been places that had it. Am I reading that right?
I think you are, and I do think it's significant that Kevin came out and announced it yesterday. He wasn't asked about it. He said it as part of his opening statement during his press conference. He's not really like that. He doesn't always just go through the injury report and kind of tell us who's going to be practicing and all of that. So I think you nailed it, and it kind of showed when he decided, I'm going to say this right off the top. And the other thing he's doing that I think stands out is, he's going to have the Texans in the Super Bowl by the time this week is over. Right after the game on Sunday, he was calling them the 1-0 Texans. He's already called this a big conference game. He messages things very well, and he just has a grasp on what he needs to do to make sure that there aren't any distractions leading into any football game.
Dan, you spoke to Baker yesterday. He was available to the media. Just kind of your feel of how the Browns players took that loss, because I think they had a lot in it, and I think it really hurt that they lost it because they felt like they played better, made some mistakes. How do you think they respond this week?
I think they're going to respond great, honestly. I think this is going to motivate them to come out, and I'd hate to be the Texans this week because I think the Browns are confident in the way they played. Now, I thought Baker's message was great. Be critical of yourself. You should expect to win that football game. Look, if you want to be a Super Bowl contender, you got to go into Kansas City and beat them, especially when you've got a 12-point lead at halftime. So I thought his message would be critical, but also understand there's 16 more games left, I thought was really important. And I think the way this team turned the page, I mentioned it after that press conference, Kevin was already talking about the Texans. They're focused on Houston, and I just think this team has a ton of confidence, but they also understand that they still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, Dan, I mentioned the boat earlier in the week. Is this the next step for this team? Not just the win, right? Like, they're going to win the football game. But I almost think it's win convincingly. Like, you mentioned how Stefanski's trying to grab their attention, 1-0 Texans. I mean, goodness, I think they share the biggest spread of the weekend as far as a game. Like, when I think about great teams, and I understand that it's literally any given Sunday. Trust me, I was that team. I was the Texans some games, so I get it. They're pros too. But you just feel like the next step for the Browns is there's no doubt. It's not just winning by like a touchdown, right? But there's no doubt in the game. Like, we're here. We're still ticked off about last week. We're going to take it out on you, Houston. And you cover the spread. You know, you win convincingly pulling away. Is that the next step for this club?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would like to see that. And I think back to that Giants Sunday night game last year. They didn't blow out the Giants, but if you kind of remember that game, it was just a really boring game. The Browns went out there. They were efficient. They controlled the game from kickoff to finish. You know, even if it's a game like that, you know, I think they'll cover that spread. I mean, what is it? I think it's like 12.5 now. I saw it was the most recent. You know, I think they've got a chance to cover that fairly easily. You know, this could be a game where they win by two touchdowns, and it's kind of just boring. They just go out there, take care of business, get a lead early, and just let Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt take them home.
Yeah, going to be fun. Appreciate your time, Dan. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it today.
Yep, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, that's Dan Lobby, covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. We've got a giveaway for the kids. Winner sees a pair of tickets to Zumbezi Bay. The waves of Zumbezi Bay have been replaced by waves of terror. Haunted houses, scare zones, plenty of wild rides. Open select nights, September 17th through October 31st. You can get tickets at ZumbeziBay.com.
Zumbezi Bay. Zombies.
Oh, they're zombies. Zumbezi Bay. They changed
this fall,
it.
Man. It's
coming. There you go.
For you. Bring in the noise.
Sixth caller on that. How do the Buckeyes respond? We'll get into that coming up next. Fishman Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
Day drinking responsibly with a touch of class. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Second hour here on a Thursday Threes. What was the toughest get back up for it game when you were a Buckeye? In other words, a tough loss or a big win, and then you look at the next opponent and you went, jeez. My guess is that didn't happen much, but were there occasions where you went, geez, this is... Yes. You're human.
Yes. I'm making sure that I'm accurate in what I'm going to look up here. I got to get my facts straight. Okay. When we went out to USC my senior year, and we lost huge, and coming back and playing Troy.
God, I remember that game vividly.
Yep.
I remember that game vividly.
Yep. That was a tough one.
The thing that made that from... It's interesting from a play... I put myself in your head on that one. I can't even wrap my head around it. I put myself in my head as somebody who was covering that team, and we knew Pryor was going to start.
Yeah.
Because that's when the keys were handed over to the kingdom, was after what happened at USC. So then Pryor became the quarterback from that game going forward. So for us, it was like, well, I can't wait to see what this looks like with this kid, right? Because everybody loves freshmen, let alone him, who he was. I mean, he was he was Quinn Ewers before Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
He was, I mean,
another one that was tough, 07, we played Youngstown State, Akron, went out to Washington, big win, came home, smoked Northwestern, went to Minnesota, won big. And then we beat Purdue at night with game day there. Purdue was ranked 23rd.
Yep.
And it was one of those rare occurrences that we came back and we hosted Kent State.
Just in the middle of the season?
Middle of the season. Kent State before having Michigan State and at Penn State the next 2 weeks. And look, that Michigan State was Javon Ringer. They were pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that, to me, was another tough one. They had, you know who their quarterback was?
No.
Julian Edelman was Kent State's quarterback.
That's right.
Yep. And that's where I got my hip pointer, to where I had to numb it up against. I had to numb it up against Michigan State, and I had to numb it up against Penn State. So I had to, you know,
right,
kind of get through it. But it was, I came on a blitz. It was blown dead. Julian reversed out anyway. I missed and fell, and that boom hip pointer left the game.
I do
off a blitz that he did. Play didn't count. That's what's frustrating about it.
Play didn't count. Right.
Play didn't count.
There aren't many stretches in recent memory coming, especially juxtaposed to coming off a loss, worse than where we're at.
Yes.
This is bad. It's tough. You open the it was an awesome way to open the season. Thursday night against Minnesota. Absolutely. Yep. Fantastic. National television. Have the night to yourselves in prime time at their place. That place was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. It was sold out. It was a lot of Gopher fans. They were loud, raucous. Then you get the home opener here against Oregon.
And then it goes both ways, right? As a coach, I would hate it.
Yeah.
Because if you're Tom Allen and you open up with Iowa, you're thinking, my goodness, guys, we don't – you can only do – like the rules prevent you from going pads and going live anyway a bunch of times. You know? Like the rules literally prevent that. Like Bob was talking about this morning how like they only went live – I think 8 times through the whole training camp. I mean, that's the first 4 practices back when I was a freshman.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was
right.
Eight total practices of full pads live. Okay. That was, we had 2-a-days. We'd have 8 full practices, you know, full padded practices through in the first week. So it's not an excuse. Everybody's going through it. But, like, when you think about, like, hold on, our season, if you're Indiana or Iowa, is basically on the line, like, our national respect in 1 week. Sure, it's great when you talk to the media and say, oh, it's grabbed our attention. I mean, sense of urgency is higher than it's ever been because of the, yeah. Every coach wants to play Kent State week 1, Youngstown State, Western Illinois. They want to play all these teams week 1. Do the big games week 2, 3. Now, as a coach, as a fan, obviously we love it, right?
Love it.
But as a coach, so that if you have a bunch of crap that needs corrected, you can see it. But it doesn't cost you a game. And so you brought it up earlier in the week. Minnesota-Oregon was great for the fans.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have teams like Tulsa and Akron on the schedule, you don't want to see them after you've already seen big ones. So if you have Tulsa-Akron, now it also means that the coaches in those wins are identifying, we got damn issues. We got to fix. Like, I don't care if the score says 56, you know, 10. We got problems that are going to come back to bite us, and the players have to really grasp them and not take the attitude of, like, chill out, coach. Like, we're fine. You know what I mean? It has to be a – I thought, for one, the players that talked yesterday, I mean, what a mature group of dudes.
Yeah.
Talk about Garrett Wilson.
Sure.
Talk about Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. What an absolute group of dudes. So I truly – you know, as a former Buckeye, you're like, you feel good about the dudes that are in that locker room. But you did notice Garrett Wilson said, he caught himself a couple times, like, we had our best practice of the year yesterday.
Yeah.
It felt really good. There's no more, you know, joking around, all that. And there wasn't, you know, before. You know what I mean? Like, you catch little glimpses like that of maybe some stuff slid a little bit because everyone was feeling good, you know? Like, oh, maybe a route's run different or a gap isn't blocked the right way, or, oh, okay, we'll get it next time. We'll get it. Mm-hmm. We'll get it. Well, maybe there's a little more sense of urgency. Of like, remember when I told you that was going to come bite us? And we didn't really have that sense of urgency to fix it in practice and really own that rep, every single rep? Yeah. Maybe if we did, this wouldn't have happened, right? There's no better teacher than a loss earlier in the year. And we've been there, you know? We've absolutely have been there. So you could just kind of notice with some of the comments of, yeah. I'm not saying that they weren't all there, attention to detail, you know what I mean? But there's still some comments about it's the focus has ratcheted up.
Well,
and you mean fans are going to say, it should have been there. You had Minnesota and Oregon. Well, you also thought you were the best, one of the best teams in the country, and that you were going to obviously coast through 14-point favorites, you know what I mean, or whatever it was. So I just thought it was enlightening, some of the comments.
Some of them. This is from Garrett Wilson, who you mentioned yesterday, saying that they had the best offensive practice they had all season yesterday. Let's have a listen.
Today, we haven't had a better practice than today all year. Offensively, I would say, you know, they're trying to learn new things on the defensive side, so that comes with, you know, a learning curve. But, I mean, the energy and just the attention to detail the last 2 days, I feel like it hasn't been like that, you know, since camp started. So I mean, we knew we had some problems, but you know, whenever you lose, you know, it magnifies them all. So I mean, there's no room for, you know, messing up at practice anymore. I mean, if there was before, there's none at all now.
That is something
things,
that,
right? If there was before,
sure,
there's no room for it now, which hints that maybe some things let go. And then you mentioned the energy. We've never had energy like we had out there yesterday.
Well, we'll see if that's accurate.
Yeah.
Because you'll know Saturday.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be how you handle that. Like, this is going to be a tepid environment.
Did anyone follow up? Hey, Garrett, what new things are they doing on defense? You mentioned they're doing a whole bunch of new things and there's a learning curve. I'm not sure people wanted you to say, you know,
right.
What are the new schemes that they're implementing?
What exactly are they doing? look, and you know, we talked about this and we'll talk about it here in a second at greater length. I mean, offensively, they're not – it's not like it, offensively it's without problems.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put it in the paint. Didn't do that,
yeah.
You know, in the game against Oregon. So that's part of it too. It's one thing. I think sometimes, you know, as an athlete, you and Garrett is so polished – You get to, we have a lot of those guys where you get in front of the media and you say the things that you feel like you A, want the media to hear, and B, you want your teammates to hear.
Yep.
Right? But the only way that you know if this stuff – we'll know. You're going to know against Tulsa, man. You'll know. I think it's like a 27 – what is it, Chops? Do you even know the numbers? It's like four touchdowns, right? It's in the high 20s, the spread. I know it's big. Akron, I don't even know how you do that. Think about Akron, folks. Think about that. They played at Auburn. Akron played at Auburn.
Yep.
And is going to play us in next week.
Yep. Night game.
Cash.
You wanted your night games, Bo.
If you're Akron.
You know? You want a big game on campus.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough from a ticketing standpoint. But you'll know because you can overwhelm these teams and that's the idea. And I think from an Ohio State perspective, what the program needs the next 2 weeks, and honestly, then it's Rutgers and Maryland.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, you don't have Penn State waiting 2 weeks out.
Right.
You know, it's really, you know, Rutgers has improved. They're competent. Maryland's a little scary. That'll be the first time you'll know if your defense is fixed is going to be Maryland.
Yeah.
That'll be the first time you know, did we get it? Are we giving up chunk plays again?
Right.
Right. You know, that's what you'll know. Who? What was the name of that? McFarland? My God, he's still running from 3 years ago.
That's true. Yeah, he's gone. Yeah, he's still
running.
Yeah.
Still can't tackle him. So
that's why he's still in the Steelers, I think. I think they're like,
there's something there. We got to find it. So, you know, you'll know Maryland's got dudes offensively, and they'll move it. And so you'll know that'll be the next time you'll know that the defense is all fixed. But there will be little hints between now and then to let you know that they're solving it or not. When I think about the one word I think when I think about where we are the next 2 weeks is focus. So what I mean by that is it almost feels like at times through two games, we're almost approaching this almost like when you're playing NCAA football on Xbox, you got to get everybody stats.
Yeah.
I got to make sure everybody gets stats.
Yep.
To hell with that. Annihilate these next two teams. Play your best 11 defensively. You get my point. You're obviously not going to play 11. There's a bunch of different, you know, looks and different types of defenses based on personnel. But play your best 11 players defensively on every given, depending on what the set is. We do not need to see guys. We don't need to see guys who still have black stripes playing against Oregon.
Yep.
So play the guys who deserve to play. Play the best 11 in every series. When it's out of control and you're up 41-7. Then you can work in everybody else.
Yep.
But that's what I mean by focus. You got 2 weeks here to figure out who you are.
Yep.
So what is our bread and butter offensively on money downs, third down in the red zone? What do we do? When we need 5 yards, what are we running? And defensively, how do we get off the field?
Yep.
So that's the focus that I think needs to be there the next couple of weeks. If we're talking to Garrett, talk there a little bit about, you know, some scheme changes. What do those need to be? Offensively, what do we need to change going into the next couple of weeks? How can you use these 2 weeks to prepare you for a Big Ten slate? That'll be a question we get into coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Buckeyes, Jackets, hard-hitting talk, and Rothman saving dogs. You know, just a typical day at a sports radio station. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The best in the Midwest. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Mortgage rates have plummeted, guys. They're the lows of the year, your home value, the highs of the year. You can take advantage of the situation. You can do so with my friends at Neighborhood Lender. You can refinance right now with Neighborhood Lender. You pay zero closing costs, even skip the next one or two house payments altogether. They do this at Neighborhood Lender. The refinancing is so easy. It's an all-digital, super-fast platform. There's no paperwork, no junk fees, no big bank hassle. You can refinance right now. You can snag the rate of your lifetime. You can lower your house payment with no closing costs. You can also do this. You can refinance and get cash out of your home's equity. People are getting tens of thousands of dollars out, reinvesting in their home, paying off debt. However you want to use it, you can. It's yours. But you need to act now. Get a better loan, get cash out, lower your payment, pay zero in closing costs, and skip your next house payment altogether. Call Neighborhood Lender right now, 614-882-LOAN, 614-882-LOAN, neighborhoodlender.com, 614-882-LOAN, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 69349. Not all loans apply, for no closing cost option, subject to lender approval. I'll tell you, I think one of the things, we've spent a lot on the defense, so let's just tackle the, I think a couple of things offensively that I'm curious about. I'm curious who the second quarterback is. And
yeah.
I guess it'll be Kyle. And I'm curious, it's taken some getting used to, and it hit me in the Oregon game. CJ's is not a, he's not really interested in running. Not his fault. He's just not a very willing runner. It's very much like Dwayne, and very much like Cardale.
Yeah.
Where you it's clear he wants to be in the pocket. When he gets out of the pocket, he wants to look downfield. He is a pro style quarterback in that sense. In that he does not want to get around, pick up 6 yards on the ground, let's play another down. You're not going to run a lot of quarterback keepers with him. So when that is not a part of your offense, because that's been our get-out-of-jail-free card a lot since Urban got here.
Yep.
You know, fourth and four, quarterback on the edge, RPO.
Yep.
Justin bailed us out a lot the last 2 years doing that. CJ's not that type of quarterback. And I don't know that the other quarterbacks on the roster are either. So on the money downs, when we need, when it's third and three, third and four, fourth and three, fourth and four, what do we do?
Mm. So I think this is what you heard Ryan Day mention. I would expect a lot more balance. He said after the Oregon game that they weren't balanced. We know that, right? The ground game wasn't hitting holes like it was against Minnesota. The passing statistics were great. I expect all those still to stay the same, right? The passing statistics. Tulsa, Akron, they don't have guys to cover.
No.
You know? So when you think of it that way, Bo, you should be able to run at will. Like, I'm expecting high 200s on the ground, maybe even low 300s, because as the weather starts to turn at the end of the year, you're going to need that ground game, right? I mean, we saw what happened when Trey Sermon starts to get rolling late in the year. Like, as the weather turns in the north, that's why a lot of Big Ten teams run the rock, because we can still be effective through the air. Mm-hmm. But I think that was something after Minnesota we felt very confident in because of the explosive touchdown runs and the way we moved the ball. You thought, we're here. We're balanced offensively.
Sure.
And then Oregon did a pretty good job. And I think expose some things. And so you say, okay, now against inferior opponents, let's go out there and absolutely road grade Tulsa, road grade Akron, work on those things, make a point to my offense. You'll still have the passing numbers. I don't expect CJ to have 500 yards because the way the game should go, CJ should have about 225 to 250. Henderson should have over 100. Mayan Williams should have over 100. On the ground, and then you'd like to see McCord have 200 through the air, Ewers have 100 and something, right? That's the way it should go, because it honestly should be 35-0, 35-10 maybe, at half.
Sure.
To where you're comfortable saying, you know what, CJ got one more series. Go down, put some points on, Kyle, you're in. And that's that. You make a great point. I'm just curious to see how the offense flows. Whether it, you know, we're going to see how we're going to get a real good look, I guess, first time against, you hope anyway, against another opponent at CJ operating it, Kyle operating it, Jack operating it, Quinn operating it. The thing is, though, Bo, all four of those guys, as you mentioned, none of them are runners. Like, CJ, we thought it was the most capable runner out of the four options, right? And we've talked about this. This is the kind of quarterback Ryan wants to recruit, and I don't have a problem with it.
He wants the pro-style guys.
Yes. Yes. And so then you start to wonder, like, the gun runs where we're just handing it off where it looks like a zone read. I don't know. I don't think we got to really do that. I mean, I know every once in a while he'll pull it, hold the defense accountable, but it's not that same dude that back there. So then do you change some of that? Do you start doing more gap stuff, right? Meaning more like powers and counters and stuff that is more traditional in the sense, because the QB run threat really isn't there like it used to be. He'll pull every now and again and hold somebody honest. But I'm just interested to see kind of how the offense looks with all four of them. These are fun games to get a glimpse into the future. It just stinks to say that after coming off out of a big loss, because you want to see them, and I expect them. I want to be perfectly clear. I expect them to come out totally angry. With the amount of senior leaders they have on this team, with guys like Haskell Garrett and Chris Olave that came back, I've been there. Like, you come out angry, and you want to prove a point. And you just want to get that good feeling of winning again. And so I expect them to come out really trying to pound the ball, run the rock, go up and down the field. Offensively, that's what I'm expecting more of. More of the ground game, I guess. More production there.
Yeah, we spent so much time talking about defense, and rightfully so. It was bad. And I mentioned the inability to put it in the paint, some of the struggles on third down. But also, we didn't run it the way that I thought Ohio State would run it. The holes weren't there the way. Yeah. I mean, they bullied us up front, their defensive line versus our offensive line. We're supposed to have the best offensive line in the country. You did not see that road grading. Mm-hmm. You didn't see it. They were more, and they did it without the best defensive player in college football. Didn't even play, and maybe their best linebacker didn't even play. So you say to yourself, "Well, we got things we got to sort out here on the offensive side of the ball." And what does that start to look like? That's I think the next 2 weeks, guys. It's about focus. It's about identity. This is who we're going to be the rest of the way. That needs to be answered the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
And I think you had a decent answer on that. Starting, Saturday against Tulsa and then Akron. By the time that's done, you go to Rutgers, Maryland, we ought to know who you are. I think that's kind of where you are. In terms of what the Bengals did in week one, nice win at home against Minnesota. They go to Chicago this week. Jay Morrison will join us next for a preview. That's coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If you call yourself a sports fan, but you're not listening to Morning Juice, you're doing it wrong.
Live and local weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. It's First Friday Somewhere.
That's a big sense of freedom.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And join the Fan for the Ozone Tailgate on Lane, the best game day tailgate in town. Catch the pregame show with Matty Ice, Tyvus Powell. Listen to live music. Watch the game. If you're not headed inside, be sure to bring cash for your favorite tailgate refreshments. The Ozone Tailgate on Lane is sponsored by TNT Equipment, Pepsi Zero, Capital City Concrete, and Corona. See you on Saturday. Time to head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline for a visit with our good friend Jay Morrison. Covers the Bengals for The Athletic. Jay, thank you so much for taking the time. We've had a couple of days to reflect on the win in Cincinnati in overtime. Let's start with your impressions of Burrow, what you saw, what you liked. Still any concerns in terms from a health standpoint?
Well, the offensive line is a bit of a concern as far as his health goes. I mean, five sacks is not ideal, but you did see him, kind of pivot and spin away from a free runner. That was a good sign that the trust in the knee and the ability to pull that off. I thought he looked great. He said it had career highs, and yes, his career is only 11 games long, but career highs in completion percentage, yards per attempt, and passer rating, and a career low with 27 pass attempts. That's the formula they want. An efficient passing game with some over-the-top hits. There was a lot to like about his performance. We talked so much about last year with no preseason and how it really kind of took him a while to ramp up to being that Joe Burrow everyone's familiar with. For him to come out and play that strong this year, coming off of the knee surgery and coming off of only three preseason snaps, I think was pretty encouraging.
Yeah, Jay, you have to also be encouraged with the fact that, Joe Mixon gets you 4.4 per carry, 29 carries, 127 yards. Just this offense, I'm telling you, as a guy that played linebacker, I tend to always look at teams and just say, how would you even attack the offense? You mentioned the O-line concerns, but they seem to be able to be balanced. And if you could run the football like that, if you can get Joe Mixon going on the ground game, you would think there will be plays open always in the pass game just based off play action alone. That has to be encouraging to see Joe have such a good start.
Yeah, and it was a good start in terms of the season. It was not a great start in terms of the game itself. They really kind of were slow getting that run game going,
yeah.
And I think Zach has learned some patience there, and they stuck with it. And Joe was a huge weapon in the second half. You know, early in the first half, he's getting 2, 3, 4 yards here and there, and by the second half, it's 7, 10, 12. They really wore down that Vikings defense by sticking with the run, and Joe runs so hard and so physical, and it opens up all that play action. And you're right, I think he is the key to this offense. Everybody wants to talk about Burrow coming back from the knee and all these weapons he has at wide receiver, but if that run game can be what they expect it to be, and if Joe Mixon can do 4.4 yards per game, they'll live with that for 17 games for sure.
Was this one on Sunday, Jay, where, and I've said this about the Browns on the show, I think it meant more to Cleveland to win it than Kansas City to lose it if it would have gone that way. And I'm interested to hear what I've seen from Cleveland this week. It looks like they're going to respond nicely from it based on the stuff that you're hearing up there. Was this a big, if they blew this, how much does the stench last this week? And the fact that they were able to do it, does it cover some things up?
Yeah, for sure. There would have been a lot of side eyes had they lost this game, because they were up 14 in the second half. And this team under Zach Taylor is going into that game was 4-8 when leading at halftime. And it's not like this team gets blown out. They haven't won a lot, but it's not like they're getting dominated. They've had chance to win games, and these are the kind of games they've lost where they've just kind of fallen apart in the second half. And he takes that risky gamble and goes for it on 4th-and-1 in his own 30, and it doesn't work off. And your best defensive player, Jesse Bates, is admitting that he was pissed off at the coach for doing that. It could have got ugly quickly had they blown this game. They really are fortunate that they pulled it off. And, they had a victory Monday. They talked about being a little hungover Monday. This is they don't start seasons like this very often. And then Zach gives them, not yesterday off, but it was a double walkthrough. So it's kind of easing them in, playing 5 quarters, playing in the 87-degree heat, just trying to make sure they're fresh for Chicago and get their minds back right and not be too full of themselves coming off of a win.
Victory Monday. Interesting in a week one there. Jay, I mean, I'm jealous, to be honest. We didn't have many of those. I'm wondering, how do you feel about the defense overall? You know, Cousins threw the ball a ton. I mean, 351 yards, a couple touchdowns, no picks. But at the end of the day, you keep Dalvin Cook bottled up to under 4 yards per carry at 3. I'm just wondering overall, how do you feel about the defense? How do you think they looked?
Yeah, terrific. I mean, you hold Dalvin Cook to 3.05 yards per carry. That was the third lowest total he's had in a game where he rushed more than 15 times. They got what they invested in that D-line. They got pressure up the middle a lot. Larry Ogunjobi was wrecking the game. B.J. Hill, who they just traded Billy Price for, comes in. He's been here 10 days, and he comes in and gets 2 sacks in the opener. That's what was missing last year. There were times last year in week 5 or 6 where they're starting a defensive line where nobody was on the roster when the season started. All of that, the linebacker play has improved, that the DBs were better, and they really unveiled, I wrote about this today, they unveiled this new 3-safety look, and it really paid off because they put the veteran Ricardo Allen in, and not just as a backup safety and give other guys a break, they put him in there with Jesse Bates and with Von Bell and started moving those guys around, and Von Bell's playing in the slot, he's playing more linebacker, and it just was a really effective game plan. But they lost Ricardo Allen to a broken hand. He's on IR now, so that'll be a big question moving forward, is if they can go back to that 3-safety look, because the whole point of that was Ricardo Allen's experience and just how smart of a player he is, and they really don't have any experience behind him on the roster as far as safeties go.
Jay, one of the things I've kind of felt about this season for the Bengals is get Burrow through it healthy, right? Keep him upright, get him through it healthy. Really then in year 3, you can start to really, you know, maybe start to chase down some of the better teams in this division. So from a win-loss standpoint, of course you want to win, but unless they go 3-14, which they won't, they're way too good offensively for that. But I wanted to circle back on Burrow. Year 2, I see some of the stuff, some of the fun that he has with you guys in the media with the Ja'Marr Chase drops and some of his comments and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. How much of a stranglehold does he have on that organization? And from a veteran standpoint, how much is that organization, that's the leader, we follow him?
Yeah, I mean, it was apparent as soon as he got here. They voted him a captain as a rookie. And he just everything, they were settled on him way even before the draft. Like, well, as soon as they lost that game in Miami in 2019, they knew they were picking Joe Burrow. They've been having conversations with him. It's just, he is an impressive guy, and he won over that locker room as a rookie, and then he did it again last year by coming back so fast from the ACL and being ready for OTAs after tearing his ACL in November, and just gained a whole new level of respect for the way he attacked the rehab. And it's just, they pushed all in on him. He is the face of the franchise, and it's the front office, the fans, the teammates, just everybody looks to that guy. He is the unquestioned leader right now.
Jay, going on the road to Chicago, it's a weird team to kind of predict, the Bears. They're doing, I would say, interesting and confusing things with Fields. Obviously, the storyline with Dalton going against the Bengals, just some fun stuff there. But just what are your expectations out of the Bengals going up to Soldier Field?
Yeah, you know, it's tough because as excited as everybody is about the win, this is still a team that's won 19-1 in their last 21 road games. Mm-hmm. They just, bad teams lose on the road, and they've got to figure out how to win these games. And I think it's going to be a close, grinded out game, but I'm picking the Bears. The one concern I have, I talked about the sacks and the hits Joe Burrow took. None of those came off the edge. Jonah Williams and Riley Reiff didn't give up a single pressure on 32 dropbacks. That's great news. And mm-hmm. the fact that you don't have Bobby Hart lining up against Khalil Mack like you would have if this was last year is great news. Yeah. But there's a lot of concerns up the middle. And Akeem Hicks is a guy that can just really wreck this game plan. That's what they've got to watch out for, is the pressure the Bears bring up the middle, especially if they start stunting Khalil Mack and bringing him inside. I don't think we're going to see quite as much explosiveness offensively from this team. It's going to be one of those games they have to go into Chicago and grind it out. They talked so much about how much the crowd was a boost to them last week. This is the first time Joe Burrow is going to play in a loud stadium and use the silent cadence since he was in college. So that's another issue they're going to have to work through. I think it's going to be a really low scoring game. I think it's going to be a close game, and I think the Bears pull it out.
Jay, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time today.
All right. Great talking to you guys.
All right, that's Jay Morrison, covers the Bengals for The Athletic. We hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Two men complaining about first world problems.
You're not getting the point, kid.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Hey, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing. Chopper is here. Hit it, Chops.
Bishop and Laurinaitis, Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
Here we go on a Thursday. Tom Brady on the Let's Go podcast, quote, "I don't remember this many rookies playing." Also adding, quote, "Done are the days of Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning. You know, those are the guys I'm used to hearing about." Thing or not a thing?
So, Tom, with all of the advances, is just now realizing he's 44 years old?
Yeah.
And everybody else is retired?
Tom, I mean, like, people usually retire by 44 in football.
They're done. They're done at that point. No, they'll never be done again. I mean, you can have guys playing longer, for sure, but not at this level, not this accomplished. He's one of one.
Yeah. He is one of one. That's the best way to put it. Honestly, he's one of one, and I do wonder, you know, it takes a crazy commitment, what he has done with the sports science stuff, and obviously his diet and all that, to stay healthy enough.
Yep.
But these young guys can do it. Like, if I'm Pat Mahomes, I know my arm talent. I am right now talking to Tom and saying, like, let me in on it. Like, who are the doctors you go see? What's the functional medicine stuff you do? What has been the main difference for longevity? Mm-hmm. And start taking those down, because the hits and stuff, you know, they'll keep coming, you know, over and over. I mean, look how young Tom looks. And then, I don't know if your thoughts, but our guy Rodgers isn't looking so young.
I think Aaron Rodgers looks like he's an extra in Sons of Anarchy.
Right?
Yeah.
Shelly goes, right. Gosh, Aaron looks old. I'm like, yeah he looks old. I mean, if you put it side by side, he looks older than Tom.
That's the difference in... I just can't even imagine doing what Tom does from a diet standpoint. And to be that committed to it, always.
Yeah.
You know, it takes that.
Avocado ice cream, bro.
Yeah.
Tom's kind of like Wooderson. You know what I like about NFL players? I get older, they stay the same age.
So great.
Dan Hope with this. Ohio State center Harry Miller, who's been unavailable for the first two games, was among the players coming off the practice field in uniform as they awaited post-practice interviews at the Woody yesterday. Thing or not a thing?
Sure. Thing. Yeah. I mean, and good for him. Yeah. Not going to make much difference as a matter, you know, the next couple of weeks, but good for him to get back. And, I don't know if he makes a difference or not. Probably.
You want to talk about well-rounded just dudes. I mean, that guy. You're happy for him. You're happy for him to hopefully be getting healthy and inching his way back. And look, I want our O-line at full strength. I want the starters that are supposed to be starting out there. And, they won't get tested until somewhat against, Rutgers. At least Rutgers has a Julius Turner at D-tackle who can make plays in the backfield. At least they have Fadukasi at linebacker who's a Sunday guy. So there's at least some, believe it or not, Sunday players on that Rutgers defense. So they won't really even have a challenge. They shouldn't anyway, our offensive line, until Rutgers.
Saw this tweet from Nick Wright, who's apparently on a first-name basis with Kyrie Irving. There are a handful of Kyrie trades that potentially make sense for the Nets. Kyrie's agents have made it known that Kyrie would simply retire from the NBA if Brooklyn were to trade him. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's a big thing. I will give Kyrie credit for this. And while I, as someone who hit the biggest shot, the Cleveland Cavaliers, in the history of their franchise and provided a whole lot of joy when he was a Cavalier, I'll say this. He's committed to him. He is committed to it. He is committed to player empowerment. He is committed. He is willing to sacrifice everything for what he wants. There aren't that many guys who are willing to do that. He will sacrifice money. He will sacrifice reputation. He will sacrifice what you think of him. Frankly, it appears that he doesn't give a damn what you think about him. And that takes an incredible selfishness, but also committed.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still, if you're committed to the flat earth, then...
you've got to be really committed to not caring to...
Yeah. I just...
To flex the way he flexes.
Some of the drama with him, though, is just... It's exhausting.
But he don't care. Most guys care about how they're perceived or worry about...
No.
He doesn't care about any of that.
No, and I'm not saying he should care. But I'm saying
I'm not saying he shouldn't. I think maybe you should.
I just don't have energy for it.
I don't either. I think most don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most fans are like, okay, fine, Kyrie. If you're going to retire, if they trade you, fine.
Yeah.
The league will move on.
Yeah.
CBS Sports' latest mock draft has three Buckeyes going in the first round. Chris Olave, 17th to the Colts. Zach Harrison, 22nd to Dallas. Garrett Wilson, 27th to the Lions. Thing or not a thing?
I would say not a thing because I don't know that they've scouted appropriately.
Yeah, I'm not
for these numbers. I'm not this order.
I expect Garrett and Chris to be first round guys. Mm-hmm. Jury's out for me on Zach Harrison. He has all the measurements that you would love. But and maybe it's unfair of us because of the Joey, the Nick, the Chase. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you kind of expect, and you saw the flash week one. I haven't forgotten about the sack, the strip sack that was huge. Mm-hmm. But I just think the jury is still out on that. Because I think he should be that dominant player. Like he should be in the conversation for, defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. When it comes down to it, and so I just need to see it more consistently.
Football Outsiders analyst Mike Tannier with this. The Browns are 12.5-point favorites against the Texans. The last time they were favored by more than 12 points was in 1995 against the Jaguars. Belichick was the coach. Vinny Testaverde was the QB. They lost the game. Thing or not a thing?
So this is, I'm pretty sure, this is right around when it was announced or it got wind that they were leaving Cleveland. Mm. Because this was the year that I think Sports Illustrated put him on the cover to win, picked him to win the Super Bowl. Mm. Going into that, and then the season went off the rails because it was found out that they were moving, and the distraction was as enormous as you imagine that it would be. I think the other thing I will say that's interesting about this is I think there's going to be a lot of this because you know when you don't play relevant football for 20 years, the better part of 20 years, you got to go back to find. Yeah. Things to compare this team to. So I think there will be more of these comparing to these teams in the mid-90s that Belichick had and the late 80s teams with Schottenheimer.
Yeah. I would just like the Browns to break one of these stats. You know, we talked about how last week they had lost, 16 straight season openers. Let's not have this be another thing. You know, handle your business. Yeah. It's tied for, I think, the Bucks spread for the biggest of the weekend. Yeah. As you say, act accordingly. You know, get it done. Cover. Let's go.
Last one for you real quick. This is from NFL Network's Colleen Wolf. Terry McLaurin will play with his 7th different starting QB in the regular season tomorrow. His 11th starting QB change in 3 seasons. Thing or not a thing?
You saw his catch over the weekend, right? Where he changed his body trajectory to make the catch. If I were Washington right now, I would trade 2 2s. One of those defensive linemen, not named Chase Young, and another defensive starter or whatever, to Houston for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I'd do that right now.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson's not suspended.
Yep.
He's facing no disciplinary action from the league. He's eligible to play. He's healthy.
Hmm. This is incredible. Because remember how we talked about the consistency that Michael Thomas has been blessed with and with Drew Brees all those years? This is the opposite.
This is the opposite.
He is still dominated. So that's incredible out of Terry. That's incredible. But I'm with you. They need something at QB.
Do you remember us talking about him in the draft going, well, he'll be an elite special teamer?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Great leader, special teams captain. Right. He'll play 10 years.
Well, he's going to play 10 years. He's just going to be a Pro Bowler. That's the difference. Man, he's been awesome. It's been a fun story to follow. We will attempt to beat the house coming up next. NFL picks against the number. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Never short on opinions, always short on class. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Sports talk distilled to its purest form. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And join the fan for the Ozone Tailgate on Lane for the best game day tailgate in town. Catch the pregame show with Matty Ice, Tyvus Powell. Listen to live music. Watch the game if you're not headed inside. Be sure to bring some cash for your favorite tailgate refreshments. The Ozone Tailgate on Lane is sponsored by Kohler and Buckeye Power Sales, White Claw, your local Columbus Hyundai dealer, and Jack Daniels. We will see you on Saturday. Before we beat the house, I was thinking about this. Did you see the videos going around, like the NFL Films video of the Browns and Chiefs, and in that is Patrick Mahomes with an embrace of Kareem Hunt. And then he said, where's 6? And he goes and finds Baker, and away you go. And it got me thinking, and I think sometimes we forget, and it was deserved. Not pretending, let's not mince words. It was deserved that the Kansas City Chiefs cut Kareem Hunt because of his actions. He earned a second chance. He has delivered in the second chance with the Browns. That can all be true, and it can also be true that it's one of the great what ifs. If he wouldn't have made the mistake, and if the Kansas City Chiefs had had Kareem Hunt the last 3 years, what does that look like?
Yeah,
I mean, because when you watch him, I'm convinced he's a top 6 running back in the league, still.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't get that because they have Nick Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
So they did this deal with Kareem Hunt that, you know, he didn't come in as a first round pick, so he got a deal. I think it was $10 million guaranteed. It's an incredibly team friendly deal. I think they did it as insurance in case it got a little dicey with Nick Chubb. Those guys get along famously, so that's all great. But it is, in a way, waste is the wrong word, but it's a gluttonous amount of talent at running back.
Yeah.
And if he were on another team, I think he could be what he was previously, leading rusher in the league.
Well, you just think about the trickle-down effect of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kansas City drafts Edwards-Helaire, which, good player, but the jury's still out on the NFL career.
Ain't Kareem Hunt.
then you say, hey, you obviously aren't making that draft pick if you have Kareem Hunt. And then where else are you able to go in the draft to kind of help bolster the roster? So, yeah, the trickle-down effects of that, the what-ifs of that, Kareem's decision, as you said, led them no choice.
Yep.
In Kansas City. And but, yeah, I agree. Every time that he comes in the game, you feel like it's just another starter coming in.
Not only, yeah, absolutely. Not only just another starter, it feels like he's almost as good as Nick Chubb. And he actually does some things better than Chubb. And I think Chubb's, if not the best, he's the third, fourth best running back in the league. Like, if Chubb's the third best running back in the league, Kareem Hunt's the sixth, seventh. They have them both. Mm. So how do you possibly, you know, it's an incredible thing to have. It's an incredible luxury to have. But how do you possibly take full advantage of both?
Right.
Because it's not like Nick Chubb needs to come out of the game.
Right. Yeah. It's and then the Browns were fortunate enough, due to belief in the turnaround of the organization, and to lock up Kareem Hunt.
You know,
that deal is incredible. And obviously Kareem's from that area, so it helps. But
and because of what he did and them taking a shot on him, there was
absolutely,
you know, all of that.
Yep.
But they are
factors in.
Absolutely. It makes sense, you know, for everybody, but anytime I watch him play, I just think, boy, if he was the starting running back for the LA Rams, he'd be 1,300 yards, 5 yards a carry, another 400 Pro Bowl, 400 yards receiving. If he was playing in San Francisco, if he was any place that needs a running back, put him in there, and he could lead the league in rushing.
Yep.
So it's wild.
Yep.
All right, let's beat the house, Chops.
Beat the house. Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, a solid 8-8 performance out of both of you in week
one.
I'm
happy with that in week one. Week one is tough to select. You haven't seen these teams at full rosters, full strength. I think week one to be 8-8 and feel pretty good about it. Feeling pretty good about it.
What do you think's harder, week one or the week two overreaction?
Week one, especially with three preseason games. You have no idea what the hell these teams look like for the preseason. You have ideas about some, but 8-8, I'll take it.
Week two starts tonight in Washington. Giants at the football team. Football team minus 3.5.
Thanks, Josh.
All right. Tyler Heineke's playing for Washington. I rolled with Washington last week. I think the Giants are terrible. I do. I think, did you hear the story? Joe Judge had him out running after the game, after the loss.
Like,
I don't even know if you can do that. Yeah. He had him back out there running. Ugly game tonight. I will not watch much of this. Give me the football team. 18-14, I'll take him to cover. Lot of hooks this week, buddy. Lots of hooks.
I am going the Washington football team to cover. And I am going to say it's because that defensive front absolutely owns Danny Jones all night. I don't care who's playing quarterback for the football team. Either, you know who else does it? Terry McLaurin. He'll be productive. So I just got that D-line, man, is so real. Give me the football team.
I've mixed it up too. It is Taylor Heineke, not Tyler.
Okay.
Same. Doesn't matter.
Great.
The Bears minus 2.5
totally
hosting the Bengals.
Sean Watson, it doesn't matter.
All right, so here we go. The Bears, Bengals. I thought that Jay had a phenomenal point. Akeem Hicks in the interior could absolutely be a game plan wrecker. I think this is a good football game. I think there's a lot of juice at Soldier Field. I think it's a tight game, but I'm not sold on the Bengals O-line yet, Bo, to go into Chi-Town and get a victory. So I think the Bears win a tight one by 3, but they will cover.
Yeah, I'll go same on that. I think there's a little bit of fool's gold in the Bengals' offensive performance through the air. It was a lot of check down stuff. You mentioned how many times Burrow got hit. I think that'll continue. And I think Dalton's more than fine. And I think he'll mix in a little bit more of Fields. The only thing I can see is this getting really ugly. If Dalton struggles early, I can see this getting really ugly in Chicago. But I'm with you. I have the Bears covering.
Browns minus 12.5 at home against the Texans.
Good teams win. Great teams cover. What's Cleveland? Are they a good team? Are they a great team? I think this is a big number. As we said in Thing or Not a Thing, we haven't had one of these since 1995 from the Browns' perspective. There's a lot of former Browns on the Houston team that will be playing hard. Christian Kirksey. There's Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, obviously. Money Mitch at corner. So there's a lot of guys on that team that are going to be pretty elevated to play. But I love what Stefanski did yesterday. I love the tone. There are 1-0s all over the facility. 1-0 versus 0-1. I think his team's focused. I think they're ready. First time with the full-throat fans up in Cleveland since 2019. Give me Cleveland by 2 touchdowns. They cover.
Same. I think the Browns are for real. I think if you need another boost, your fact that you're at home at the Dog Pound, I think that place is going to be juiced up to see the team. And so, yeah, I think that the Brownies will get the dub, and I think they will win by 2 touchdowns, and they'll cover.
Rams minus 3.5 at the Colts.
Oh, my goodness. What are we talking about, man? Ram it. You kidding me? You're just going to see more and more of Sean McVay's new toy, Matthew Stafford. You know, Matthew Stafford might just get a head coaching job next year just based on the fact of playing for Sean McVay this season. Everyone else does that touches him. So give me the Rams. Absolutely on the road at Indy.
Same. Just ram it.
Bills minus 3.5 on the road at the Dolphins.
Dolphins got a pretty good defense. I didn't like what I saw in Buffalo. Doesn't mean it's going to be a year-long problem. I'm going to go with the home team. Buffalo wins by a field goal, 17-14. Give me the Dolphins to cover.
Oh, man. Thought I was going to be able to sneak one in on you in this one. Same. I think Dolphins cover. At home, nice and sticky down there in Miami. Oh, yeah. Never fun to go down to Miami early in the season. Better hydrate. That's Greg Williams used to say. You better carbohydrate. What the hell does that mean, Greg? It means eat carbs. You got to eat food too to hydrate. Okay, I get it. Thank you. Carbohydrate. There's another Greg Williams thing too. Talking about how you have to hydrate more in cold games because when you shiver, your body actually burns more. So don't have the shiver complex get you dehydrated. All right, G-Dub.
All right, buddy. Where
Dolphins.
Is he?
Dolphins. I don't know. Chilling somewhere. Probably.
I didn't know if he was in the league or not.
I don't think so.
No.
Another road favorite, Patriots minus 6 at the New York Jets.
Yes. So at 6, do they beat New York by a touchdown? You mean to tell me you want Bill Belichick in that defense versus Zach Wilson? You saw what Flores. Look, give me New England. Experienced DCs against rookie quarterbacks is a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
The number's big.
Jones will continue to ascend.
Yeah, the number's big. If Becton was playing for the Jets, I could see a backdoor cover situation. You're basically saying the Patriots are 9 points better than the Jets. I don't know if they are. But Becton going down is a big deal for the Jets. I like the Patriots by 7-2, 21-14.
Road favorites continue. 49ers minus 3 at the Eagles.
San Francisco. The reason I think this is even where this is an overreaction one.
Yes, it
is. Philly's not as good as they looked. San Francisco, it wasn't as close as you were led to believe by the late scores. Yeah. San Francisco found a back who can run in the zone scheme. Defensively, they're going to wreak havoc. San Francisco, big. Niners, big.
Yep, same.
Steelers minus 5.5 hosting the Las Vegas Raiders.
Ooh, I think this is it's a tough one. But Steelers at home, man, what are we talking about? Vegas isn't going to travel there and play well. I think there's a little overreaction. They're still on their high from Monday. Short week. Give me Steelers.
5.5, huh? Steelers win.
Do it. Go for Vegas then. Do it.
Steelers win.
Do it.
By 4.
Saints minus 3 at the Panthers.
This one's me.
Yeah.
Are they 6 points better? I liked what I saw from Carolina. Carolina's going 2-0. Give me the Panthers.
I can't do it.
I don't blame you.
New Orleans. Give me the Saints.
I just picked 2 bad teams in a row. I hate when I do that.
Week of the road favorite. Broncos minus 6 at the Jaguars.
Gosh. Broncos minus 6. I mean, are they that much better than the Jags? Teddy 2 gloves. Isn't Judy down?
He's down. Judy's down.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Jacksonville at home. That crowd will be pumped. They'll be rock. No, they won't. No, they won't. 6, though. Is that team 6? Yes, they are. Denver.
Yep, same. Broncos cover.
That was tough, but sorry, Denver.
Yeah, Broncos cover.
Cardinals minus 3.5 playing host to the Vikings.
Healthy Kyler, all the weapons. Minnesota's not as good as even they made it look. Arizona wins big. Big at home.
Same.
Bucks minus 12.5 hosting the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm going to pick any team against Atlanta until they prove otherwise. I don't like the number. Divisional game, right? Any given Sunday, all that. But until Atlanta, I'm so mad over them last week that I will pick Tampa Bay. And I don't even care about the number. It could have been 21.
Falcons are gutless. Bucks big.
Dallas at the Los Angeles Chargers, LA minus 3.5.
Derwin James back for the Chargers, looking great. Good defense. Dallas can score, though. Going to be a home game for the Cowboys out there. A lot of Cowboys fans in Southern California. Going to be a home game for them. Chargers may win the game, but I don't need them to win the. I don't need them to. Doesn't matter if they do for me. Give me Dallas to cover the 3.5.
I think LA wins by 3. I'm with you. I know that obviously Randy Gregory is on the COVID list. DeMarcus Lawrence breaks his foot yesterday, out 6 to 8 weeks. Their next career sack guy is Jalen Smith with like 9. So Dallas's defense even getting thinner, but Dak, I feel like, can just backdoor cover. Like that, he can move the rock, man. So I think Cowboys will cover.
Titans at Seahawks, Seattle minus 5.5.
Tennessee flying all that way. They're going to be fired up. Doesn't matter. Seahawks at home by a touchdown.
Same.
Chiefs minus 3.5 on the road at the Ravens.
I feel like I don't. This one almost, it bugs me how small it is because of how good Kansas City is and the issues I saw. Buddy,
yep.
No Marcus Peters is a problem.
Yes, it is.
You go cover 0, you better have 2 dudes at corner. They do it over and over again, and they don't. They will score points. They got problem. By the way, they have problem at right tackle, too, in Baltimore. I don't think they can block it. I don't think they can cover it. I think this could be the start of a bit of a long year for Baltimore. I got Kansas City, slump town.
I got Kansas City as well. And nobody gets more like favored like points spreads than the Ravens based on purely reputation.
Yeah.
Packers minus 11 playing host the Detroit Lions.
I feel bad for Detroit because I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to just unleash the fury on the Lions. I do.
Packers. If he doesn't, then the fix is in.
Yep.
Then it's straight sabotage.
Yep.
If he doesn't, Detroit can't hang. They can't hang. Yeah. If you got your Aaron Rodgers in the fantasy, I think he lights them up too. Give me the Packers to win big on that one. Coming up next, we switch gears back to the college game. A big one in Happy Valley. James Franklin addressing the USC rumors and Auburn coming to town. Timing not great. We get into it coming up next. Bishman Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Listen responsibly. Now back to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. And look, you need to go out there and get some ridiculously good salsa. And I'm not talking about any salsa. It's literally the name of the company. Okay? Their salsa is hands down the best you can get. And it's made right here in Columbus by an absolutely wonderful family that I have gotten to know over the last few weeks. I love their salsa. I've been eating it for years. I get it at the Dublin Market, which runs through September on Saturdays. You can head out there and grab some, or you can just go to Whole Foods or Weiland's, the Hills Market, etc. Ridiculously good salsa, aptly named because it really is ridiculously good. Flavors are mild, happy, meaty, yum, which is my favorite. And then for heat lovers out there, high heat. Get it for game day and every occasion. I threw it on some taco meat the other night. We had little sweet potatoes diced up, put some fixings, some taco meat, put a little of that ridiculously good salsa. Just tops it off perfectly. Go get it. Ridiculously good salsa.
I think a ridiculously great environment is Penn State for a night game at Happy Valley.
I see what you did there.
That's it. It's the whiteout. It's the best. It's as good as any environment in college football. Been lucky enough to be at a lot of them. It's unbelievable how good it is. There's something about the way that stadium's lit that adds to it.
Yep.
Because it's almost, it's just this bright, if you haven't been over there.
You're talking about the lighting or like it's lit, like the kids say?
The actual lighting. Because some of the corners are pitch black.
Yes.
In there. Like where our fans sit in the corners is pitch black. So like when you, like when Joey Bosa had the sack off and you went, I mean, that was unbelievable in there how loud that place was. And it, they stand, the student section's great, they're organized, they cheer. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And they host Auburn in it on Saturday night in a game that means a lot for the Big Ten, means a lot for Penn State, means a lot for James Franklin's program. I think it's fair to say that there's an opening at the top of the Big Ten. He went to Wisconsin and won. They've got Penn State. He saw what happened to Ohio State. All of this is enough for us to talk about this game. You add to it the fact that Dan Patrick says that there's mutual interest between James Franklin and USC, and there's even more intrigue. Here is Franklin on USC and if he's a candidate.
As you guys know, I can't stand in any form of distraction. So I'll discuss this today with the leadership council so that we can make sure that all of our energy and all of our energy is on our preparation for Auburn. And that's how we'll handle it. I'm gonna talk to the leadership council today about it.
Now, to be fair, if he is a candidate or if he has mutual interest, which I believe he would have mutual interest in that job. I think he knows how tough his job is at Penn State with us in the middle of the way. And he's seen how hard it is to recruit against Ohio State. I mean, he's got this the kid up at in Medina, the kid who's a five-star quarterback. Now Ohio State's trying to get in on him. Yep. He had to play Justin Fields.
Yep.
He had Justin Fields. You know, he may have to play Kyle McCord at some point. Kyle McCord had to drive past Happy Valley to get here. Fleming, too. So he knows what he's up against. So I think, and rightfully so, I think he's done what he's done plenty for Penn State people to be appreciative. And if he wants to go to USC, fine. I get it. It's a better job, frankly. That being said, he wouldn't be having that dialogue now anyway.
Yep.
That would be his agent. That would never be USC directly.
Exactly.
It would never be. So that allows him, you know, some plausible deniability.
It's like a head coach saying, like, don't even let it get to me. If you can handle it, handle it. I don't even want to know about it, so I don't have to deny it. This is the same thing. Agents are paid to handle these conversations, and then you can say, I'm focused on this week. I'm surprised he just didn't scream into the microphone, Auburn! Auburn, 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 Auburn. That's what I would do. Not even answer it. Auburn!
This is...
You are all poison! All of you! Auburn! And you never denied it. You just created a scene.
Did he... Do you have any problem with me saying this is the most important non-conference game in the Big Ten this season?
Yeah, I think so, because it's an SEC team coming up to what a lot of people in the Big Ten would consider the best night environment in the conference. It's our best that we have to offer as far as
the
unique loudness, environment, scene. ESPN's going to make a massive deal out of it. Herb Street absolutely loves it, so he's going to talk about it. They're going to lay out the whole open and let that thing just soak in. They'll be playing the Zombie Nation or whatever the heck they play, and they'll be chanting and they'll be going, and you'll hear the tiger meow. I'm not calling it a growl, it's a meow, and so you'll hear all that.
Call it a tiger?
Lion, whatever the heck it is. I used to tell
it him, is an annoying lion. It's
I used to tell him those little cougar annoying. Or whatever the heck. I always mess with my Penn State guys. I can't repeat on air what I used to call it. But anyway, they're going to do all that, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to look great on TV, and Herbie's going to pump it up. So you want them to perform in the way to where you're like, look, if you are a true like fan of Big Ten football,
yeah,
you got to just hope that Penn State and the environment overwhelms them. Like Auburn, you know, takes the ball, false start in the first play, right? That place is going insane, and yeah. Penn State win. They don't have to roll, but Penn State wins. So that we can stick our chest out and say, that's right. You know, if more of y'all came up north during, you know, the season and not these neutral sites, you know, it just gives us a little trash talk. And we need it as a conference after what we did last week.
Yeah, and I think Penn State's decent. I think they're really good defensively, and I think Dotson's a dude on the outside. These aren't reinventing the wheel statements, but they're good. I watched all the Wisconsin game. I think they're prepared for this game. This will come down to Sean Clifford making plays. I also don't think Auburn's that good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think Auburn's got pros because everybody down there does. So they've got guys on the defensive line you've never heard of who are going to be in the league. But this is not Cam Newton walking through the door. It's not that type of Auburn team that's coming in there. So this is one that Penn State should be the better team. They should handle their business, and they should get a win. I think there's a lot of pressure on Penn State to win. I think there's a lot of pressure on Franklin to win. I think that everything that he said in terms of we're not having distraction, I think he knows what it is. Every man thinks about their legacy. And if he is peaking at USC, wouldn't it be nice to leave Penn State as Big Ten champions, beating Auburn at home? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. It'd be a nice way to leave if he is going to leave at some point. But he's not thinking about that now. He's in a foxhole.
Yep.
He's trying to beat an SEC team at his place. And what is – you want to talk about – Penn State and the brand and what it can be. The brand of, and it's probably the most effective thing that's happened, is the whiteout has erased some of the off-field stuff. Not all, clearly. That's always going to be there. But the whiteout is something you think of a lot with Penn State. They're tied together. And if they win, it's only amplified for them.
Yep.
So it's a monster. It's the biggest one in the Big Ten. I will not say that about the other Big Ten game of the week.
No, come on. Yeah, come on. Game of the century. Let's go. Shock the world, Scott.
It was at one point. Can you even find a way that this is remotely close? Among the things we get into as we look ahead of week three in college football, that is coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis reading on the Fan.
1, 2, 3. The Daily Coach Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by Credit Union of Ohio and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is a Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Light Autograss. Always a lot of talk about leadership, but leaders really needed in all kind of different ways when you come off a game that doesn't go well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, when you face adversity, you find out a lot about a lot of people. You know, it's one thing to, you know, when things are going well and get out in front of it and, you know, everything's positive and a little bit of front running. But when something doesn't go well, I mean, that's life too in general, is that you find out a lot about people when things don't go exactly how you planned. And certainly last Saturday didn't go as we planned. So now it's time to tighten things up. And like you said, the leadership has to show through this week.
Or do the elements of that just staying together?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's certainly enough finger pointing to go around across the board, and a lot of people going to do that. But right here in this group, right here in the Woody, you know, we have to, you know, make sure that we're sticking together in this thing, like you said, and make sure that we, you know, come up with solutions.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
A linebacker and a man of leisure.
This doesn't even make sense.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And join Matt Andrews. Time is PAL Friday night under the lights of the Fans High School Football Game of the Week. Coverage of this week's matchup, Olatanji at Reynoldsburg, starts Friday at 6:30 on the Fan. Catch highlights and scores from high school football games around Central Ohio on 1st and 10. Hey, I used to be on that show. Friday nights at 11:15 on 10 TV. Loved high school football on a Friday night. Loved that.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's awesome.
A lot of Bishop Sycamore highlights.
You know, I said when I saw those guys, remember? I was like, dude, I did that for 8 years. I don't remember ever doing a Bishop Sycamore game.
That's when I knew.
I had a little bit of a red flag at that point with that one. Also, in addition to that, we got a little giveaway, 219710. Let's go third caller. Winner receives a pair of tickets to Zombiezy Bay, if you will. The waves of Zombiezy Bay have been replaced by the waves of terror.
That's right.
Haunted houses, scare zones, plenty of wild rides. Open select nights September 17th through August 31st. Get tickets at zumbezibay.com.
No. I already know. Me neither. Me neither. If I walk through a haunted house and someone touches me, they're getting smoked. So,
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I've never liked it.
I don't even watch scary movies. I don't think I've watched a scary movie since Halloween. And not like last Halloween, like the movie Halloween. Like the first Scream. And I remember the reason why the first Scream spooked me is that my dad was always out of town.
Yeah.
And it was just, there's so many nights where it'd just be me and my mom and my sister at home. And we lived on 5 acres.
Yeah, the woods.
And it'd be pitch black in the woods. And anytime the phone rang, I was like, I ain't answering that. No way. Nope. Not me. After I saw that movie. So I don't do scary movies.
No, I don't either.
And I hate it, by the way. It should be banned that when I'm watching a primetime football game, I don't want to see Candyman come on. And I don't want to scare my 7-year-old for the next 4 weeks.
You know,
I don't want to deal with that.
No, you don't need that. And I'll tell you what, it's one thing on the Sunday night game at past 9 o'clock at night. It's something else entirely in the 4 o'clock game or the 1 o'clock game. Like, that doesn't need to be. Come on. Let's have some sense. Mm-hmm. We don't need that stuff in there. I'm with you. I think the last horror movie I saw was probably, I remember being in middle school and seeing Children of the Corn, which was always a little scary. Where I grew up with the wheat fields just replacing the corn, that was always a little dicey in terms of that. But no, I don't seek it out. They do that thing in Mansfield at the Shawshank prison. Like, are you out of your mind? You think I'm going in a prison to be scared in a haunted house? That's a creepy prison anyway.
Nope.
No thanks.
I'm going in there? Not a chance.
Nope. Not doing it.
If you guys had to take your best guess, where do you think I fall in haunted houses?
You love them.
Love them.
Yeah. I haven't been to one in a long time, though.
Do you like horror movies?
Yeah, for sure.
A weirdo.
Yeah.
I've been to a crazy one that's around here. It's called the Haunted Hoochie. That's a pretty rough one.
Jeez.
Not a chance. You couldn't pay me. Sorry.
I used to have a property that the guy would rent out, and it was used to be like a former grocery store, and he would build one of those, he built the haunted houses in there, and there'd be people lined up out the parking lot.
Yep.
To go to this thing on the weekends.
Sad.
It was crazy. And I went through it in the day, and I'm like, no.
That and escape rooms, like the amount of panic that I just feel from being like, hold on, we're locked in here until we find some. No.
Yeah.
No.
You ever do a prison tour and they say, oh, yeah, you want to see what solitary confinement's like?
Nope. I'm good. Nope. I live my life to not ever be in that position. Yeah.
Yep. I always had, that was one of my biggest fears as a kid, was wrongfully imprisoned. Jeez.
Yeah.
I ain't doing that. We got to make sure that doesn't happen. Man. Speaking of in prison. Scott Frost tried to get out of jail. He tried to not play this game against Oklahoma. Mm. I was listening to Joel Klatt on BTN yesterday. He was on with Revson, and Revson goes, "Is there any way?" He basically asked him a straight question, like, you know, how does Nebraska make it close? And Klatt's simple answer is, they can't. They really can't. And then he realized he was on Big Ten Network, and he realized he's going to be calling the game. So he kind of made the case that their defense is better and that Martinez is a gamer. But I think he also brought up another good point, which was Oklahoma's already been scared once. I mean, Tulane came in there and scared them. The fact that Nebraska didn't want to play the game, the fact that the alumni in Oklahoma are going to want to hammer them.
Yep.
This looks like a bloodletting to me.
It probably will be. I don't see a way, unless Rattler is unhinged, you know, to where like he turns the ball over early and Adrian just decides, I'm going to do everything myself. Otherwise, there's really no threat at tailback on the outside in the trenches. There's just, I don't see a chance that Nebraska even keeps it close. That's why Penn State is so big, because when you look at the other conference games, I think Nebraska gets bludgeoned. I think that Cincinnati beats Indiana.
Yeah.
And it won't be a good day for the rest of the conference. No one will be watching us. I had to look up yesterday what time the game's at and what channel.
Right.
So I'll be able to listen, maybe Zoom the YouTube or stream the YouTube TV right behind the steering wheel. I know it's not really legal, but I might. I don't know. Maybe I'll just watch it when I'm charging the Tesla.
And do there you go.
Who knows? Who knows? But
you know, no, it's not good. It's not good. And I think on the, and I know we're up against it, but real quick on the Nebraska Oklahoma, this is a case of I think that you can draw some parallels here in the sense that Oklahoma was irrelevant in the 90s.
Yep.
Irrelevant. They hired, yep. Now, these two schools are in the same league. Yep. They were relevant. They hired Bob Stoops. They got it right. What did Bob Stoops do? He went into Texas, and he went back to what Oklahoma was forever. We're going to go recruit Texas.
Yep.
And we're going to win with Texas players. And they're going to be chesty when they walk across the Red River and go down to Texas and go to work. And that's part of the culture of Oklahoma and has been forever. Nebraska messed up their hiring and then went to the Big Ten, and they can't even go into Texas. Oklahoma always had that Texas recruiting base. Nebraska never did and has no home. And so
one of the greatest what-ifs in college sports for us will be, what if the Big Ten had helped out Texas or helped out Nebraska by getting Texas and Oklahoma?
Oh, boy.
The other big what-if, too, when you talk to people is, what if Jim Delaney had been a little more flexible when it came to Notre Dame?
Jeez. Whatever it took.
Yep. Especially that was not the attitude. At first, it was like they were really close, from everything I've gathered, and then it turned into almost like a pride thing. Like when it didn't happen, he thought he was being very, very kind to Notre Dame, more kind than maybe some of the other institutions that are in the Big Ten that joined, as far as money and when and all that stuff. And they kept pushing the envelope, trying to get more and more, be more special. And he said, just out of ego, the hell with y'all then.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't have done that in Oklahoma and Texas.
I think that was more pressure from the other presidents because of OU's AAU status, which makes me want to get in a three-point stance and run as fast as I can into this side of the barn.
Can't worry about that, brother. Like, what are we doing? What are you doing? We hit three
student
things.
Athletes, coach. Student
oh,
athletes.
Oh, God. We hit three things on a Thursday. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here.
Telling it like it is, even if that makes you uncomfortable. Common Man and Tebow.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Bo is well-groomed. James brings the boom. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time for three things on a Thursday. Hit it, Chops.
One, two, one, two.
Three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
Number one for me, I saw this, and it's a reminder of program building and the ones that miss it and the ones that hit it. There are seven starting quarterbacks in the National Football League that hail from the state of Texas. None of them played at the University of Texas.
Mmm.
You want to know how it gets off the rails? You could probably do the same with Southern California. There are a blank amount of starting quarterbacks in the league from the state of California or even Southern California. How many of them played at USC?
Mm.
Sam Darnold, right? That's it.
Mm. That's incredible. That's incredible. My first thing, look, just ram it, baby. I mean, I literally sent a text message to the head athletic trainer, who was my trainer in St. Louis, and I said, hey, man, is there anybody left over from St. Louis in the equipment room? I just need some swag because all my stuff that I have from St. Louis is like 2X. And I'm like an L flirting with a medium. So can you help me so I can rep the squad without, you know, having it look like, you know, I'm part of Cash Money Records back in the 90s, you know? And they hooked it up. Hooked it up with some swag. And I got to tell you, I don't like it on the jersey, but the bone color on a long sleeve, it works. It works.
Well, the blue's flawless. I mean,
it is.
You guys were talking about haunted houses. You know, it's the season for that, or at least getting close to it. You know what time it actually is, though? We're going on Saturday. Renaissance Fair this weekend was not available last year. They didn't do it. So it's really a lot of fun. It's basically like a day. It's basically like a day at a theme park, but the food is better, there's more alcohol, and you don't have to wait in line for rides. You're just going around experiencing it. They do jousting. It's legit. They're on horses, knocking guys over. Can't wait.
Unbelievable. I can't wait to see the images. Number two for me, so Beamsy's birthday, my middle boy's birthday is coming up, and at this age, kids want to go to bounce houses or they want to go play laser tag and all this stuff that the kids do at these
trampoline parks.
So I go, Beamsy, what do you want to do? He goes, I want to take, I want, the, and then he named four kids. And then he said, I want these four kids and me to go to the high school football game on Friday night. And then I said, you're getting all the money.
Yeah, you do. Yep.
You're getting all of it.
Matter of fact, we're calling
the attorney
now. We're going to change the will.
Yep. That's the right answer.
Yeah.
Good job out of you.
Yeah, man. My second thing, first day of school for Hayden today. Nobody is celebrating more than Cersei. When we say that we were, I mean, you're already like, oh my, we love our sweet Hayden. But as you know, there are just, I experienced it the other night. I was with her for 45 minutes at the barn, just me and her trying to fill out my board.
Yep.
And my sweet girl just wants you to be involved with everything. And I'm trying to write down Northern Illinois information. Dad, look, look. She's playing basically Fruit Ninja. Dad, look, look, Dad. I'm slicing the apples. Dad, look. Honey, give me 5 seconds. I look. Awesome, honey. Look back. Dad, look. I'm building a cupcake. It's a good thing that she's back at school. I love her, but she needs all that focused energy out in the classroom.
Second thing for me, so I saw this, Taco Bell, they're testing a subscription model on their app. So with it, you'd pay between $5 and $10 a month, and you can get a free taco every day you go. Surely it's a deal if you get the taco every day, but I actually would say, usually I like Taco Bell innovation. This one, I think you just end up spending too much at Taco Bell. You'd eat too much Taco Bell, you'd get there. I don't need more incentive to go there, so I think I'd pass on this one.
Number three for me, so I sent out the boys' clothes last night. Sent out Bootsy's. The other two handled their business. So I sent out Bootsy's clothes, and then he and I were going to do a little Mario Kart before he went to bed. And he went in his room to get a T-shirt, and this is a direct quote. Oh, no! And he came out, and he goes... So I set out a Southern Tide quarter zip for him to wear. So he comes out, and he goes, I can tell you this. When I come downstairs, I won't be wearing that. I only wear fancy on picture day. He said it's a pullover. He was in athletic shorts.
Oh, what a legend.
I only wear fancy on picture day.
Love him. Love him. My last thing, I get an email from BTN. Hey, we're talking with all of our talent. We hired a consultant to work on your on-air image. And so I tell Shelly, I'm like, the lady emails me and goes, hey, you haven't scheduled, I see. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I didn't think this applied to me. Shelly's words, she goes, what the hell are they worried about your image? You're on air for 10 seconds. Yes, you're right, honey. You're way more witty than me, and I will respond to them with that direct quote.
My last thing. So I made the mistake of putting Kit's food bowl out once outside. Now she wants outdoor dining every time we feed her.
That's
she
right.
She sits by the door, outdoor and she wants outdoor dining, table service, everything for her.
Beautiful. Ryan Day show up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-BUTLER.